Hello, and thank you for joining us for an episode of That Solo Life, the podcast for PR pros and marketers who work for ourselves. I am Michelle Kane. My company is Voice Matters, and I am here with Karen Swim, head honcho of Solo PR Pro. Hey, Karen, how are you?
Hello, Michelle. I am doing wonderful. How are you today?
Good. I'm doing well so far. Yeah, I can't complain. You know, it's rolling along. We're just going with the flow or creating the flow or all the things, you know?
I will say that we have to go with the flow or be swept out to sea since life changes daily in 2020. That's what it's all about.
That's right. Sometimes even hourly or, you know, morning can be one thing, the afternoon can be the next. But that kind of leads us to our topic for today because, you know, in this COVID era, even though I kind of hate to give it that much credit that it's an era, but whatever. You know, with so many of us not accustomed to working from home, or really the entire business world being brought into our arena of working from home, where you have a little more freedom of when you work. It's kind of, you know, at least initially set our schedules on its ear, especially for those of us who were handling messaging, you know, fiercely and fastly. And I feel like the last few weeks, it's been, you know, kind of time to get around to, nope, these are my, you know, for better or for worse, office hours. I get it that sometimes we work past or before, but boundaries, they're a good thing, right?
Boundaries are beautiful. They're so beautiful. And as communication professionals, and I mean, as professionals in general, whether you work for yourself or you work traditionally, knowing your own boundaries is crucial. It's really critical for you to know then. I understand that everyone else sets boundaries too. And so sometimes we have to operate within the boundaries that are set by others, either by our professional, by governing bodies, by organizational brands. However, it's equally important to know what your own boundaries are.
Exactly. Exactly. And that could be anything from, you know, just down to your office hours. You know, I know personally for me, yeah, there are times I have to push through, as we all do, you know, depending what project you're working on and work into the night. But I know just my own body clock and brain clock, if that's such a thing. By 8 p.m., I'm pretty much done. And if, you know, if I plow through any more, that's when I'm more prone to make a mistake. So even though, you know, my one side of my psyche is like, oh, come on, you can do it. Let's just get this done. You know, the adult in the room has to tell myself, no, you know what? You're not giving your best right now, and you owe it to yourself and the people you're working for to call it a day and decompress for a bit. It's interesting. I've not always been one of those, you know, people who wore it as a badge of honor of how little you slept, but I kind of thought, you know, I can muscle through. But it wasn't until I really ingested the notion of, you know, sleep cleans your brain, it cleanses it out, it gets it ready to, you know, do another day. And that kind of hit me of oh, yeah, you're right. So I can be more efficient if I don't push as hard. Okay. And we'll try that. I mean,
my thought is also, and sorry, men, but because I, you know, only because I am not as educated on how seasons of life impact you, but for women in different periods of our life, we do need more sleep and our sleep patterns do change because of hormonal fluctuations. And so I think that, you know, sometimes when you're younger, sleep is not as important, or maybe you take it for granted. And then as you get a bit older, at different periods of your life, you know, things like pregnancy or, you know, perimenopause can impact that. And so our sleep needs differ. And I'm sure that that's true for men as well, that in different parts of your life, your need for sleep changes. I, you know, if you talk to older people, they'll tell you that they need less sleep. They tend to sleep fewer hours. And so I think being aware of, you know, and for me, that's really the way that I live my life. I understand that there are, in addition to, you know, the big milestones and the brackets of age, there, you know, you have seasons, you have chapters in your life. And so sometimes what worked, you know, last year, you shift. And I think that that ability to be able to shift and to understand like, okay, you know what, that was really important then. Like, you may go through a period of time where to bring excellence to your whole life, you may change your work schedule a little bit. And so maybe you work a few more hours in this particular season of life because you're working towards a goal or you're working on something that, you know, really requires a little bit more. I don't think that that's a bad time. And so I guess what I'm saying is that for me personally, I've learned that having this rigid structure that I never veer from is not the way that I set boundaries. Right. You know, I sort of have those boundaries that I can adjust, but I like to be the one to decide to choose to make that adjustment. So like during COVID in March, I frequently worked until 10, 11 o'clock at night. I worked a lot of weekends. I think I worked my way through the first 2 months of the pandemic, to be honest with you. Part of that is a coping mechanism. Place. And, you know, I put my head down. There was a lot to do. There were a lot of new responsibilities. And so I just kept working. And listen, you know, we all handle things differently. That didn't make me feel abused or bad. It just, you know, I worked.
Yeah, it worked for you in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to stop working 24 hours now.
That's a good idea. Don't crash and burn.
Well, how about we don't work? How about we stick our head up and see what other people are doing? And, oh, wow. They're baking bread and they're making crafts projects. And they're painting their home. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's funny. For me, it was a balance of grateful that I did have, you know, a lot of messaging and things to get out on behalf of clients and also just, you know, trying to quell the freak out.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. It's okay. It's okay. And almost being, you know, doubly careful of what I was doing because I knew I had that bit of internal distraction that I'm, you know, I'm sure a lot of us did and maybe still do to a certain degree. I call it pandemic brain. Like we're all still a little off, you know, yeah. So I've been a little more forgiving with myself and with others, but yeah, I think, you know, overall, and I know we've discussed this many, many times over the years, in the group and stuff of, you know, just like you say, I too like to be flexible, you know, but because most of our clients work, you know, regular office hours, right? So, you know, trying to at least have one eye on that ball as things go out. And especially, let's say, you know, if you have an event going on or a project that's launching, sure, I'm going to have my eyes on email, you know, a little more constantly. Or if, you know, in some cases, some of the events that I help out with or work for, you know, some of them are volunteer based for the most part. So yeah, you're going to have a meeting at 6 or 7 PM. Okay. You know, that's fine. That's fine. But I think it's just, you know, letting people know when you're available and when you're not, because you definitely need that time to yourself to decompress, to just not be on all the time.
I agree. And I mean, so for me, that boundary is, yeah, I do not want to have a lot of meetings at 7, 8 o'clock at night. Have I done them? I have. When it is absolutely necessary. And sometimes, and I mean, it's also determining, you know, what's necessary and what's just a preference and, you know, saying, yeah, hey, I'm not available at that time, but how about this?
Right.
The thing that I also am very conscious of, and I don't require clients to be conscious of it because I'm conscious of it for myself and I just won't answer you, is even if I'm working at odd hours,
yes,
rather than sending emails after work hours, I write them, but I schedule them to go out during the business day because we have the tools. And so in my book, there's absolutely no excuse for doing that. And when you do that, especially if you do it for people that work for you, you set up this expectation that they're supposed to respond after hours.
Oh, absolutely. It's so tempting. So,
yeah. I get that some people are working and you're just trying to check the boxes. Send all the emails you want. I'm not going to answer them until the business day. Now, text messages, that's a boundary that I will call you out on because that is different. You know, most of us these days have our phone somewhere near us because we want to be available for family, for friends, and, you know, for life emergencies. So if you're sending a text at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, it's just rude. Please don't do that. Write yourself a note, you know, plan a little bit better. It 99.9% of the time, it's not something that has to be taken care of at that moment. It's just something that's in your brain that you're trying to get out. That's great. Send an email because that's less intrusive, or just jot it down. Make yourself a voice note or put a reminder on your calendar to talk about it the next day. Do not text people after hours. It's just, I'm sorry. It is the height of rudeness. I don't appreciate it. And it, you know, from time to time I'll get those texts. I ignore those too. I just don't respond.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've been fortunate. My clients to date don't abuse that. You know, if it's, it would have to be something extremely urgent for that to happen, you know, if there's, but yeah, it's, and that's the thing too. And I don't know if it's a generational thing or not, but just the overuse of text for business communications, especially when, you know, you might want to have a paper trail, so to speak, or a digital trail. It's so hard to do with text messaging. So if you can help it, you know, try to keep things to email or some kind of a project management CRM where, you know, like a Slack or something where you can at least send a message right away, but, you know, it doesn't get lost. I find it's too easy. Things get too easily lost in your phone of texting as well.
That could be a whole instructional podcast right there. Like when to use these channels to communicate.
Absolutely.
You know, I get communications on multiple email accounts, Skype, Slack, text.
It's a lot.
Messenger, Twitter, LinkedIn. I kid you not.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It can be overwhelming to go to all of these places. And there's a, you know, there are uses for each of those channels.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If you want a record of something, and to have like this thread, I'd really rather you really think about it and send it on email so that it's easily retrievable and I can hang on to it and refer back to it. With text messages, it does get a little unwieldy when you have like multiple messages and you're having this conversation, unless, you know, it's quick stuff in real time.
Yeah.
During the business day, I prefer that to a phone call. Like phone call is probably on my personal bottom list of ways to communicate. Although, unless it's faster, sometimes it's just faster to pick up the phone and go blah, 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 blah. And it's, you know, 5 minutes over and out and you're done.
Right.
So I like to think about the most, you know, what's going to be the most efficient way to send this communication. And here's a good one. Should I send it at all?
Right.
There's a boundary. How about you take a beat, think about it, and think, is that something that they even need to know or be involved in? Because I cannot tell you how many times people have used group messaging on somewhere, and it's like, really didn't even need to be a part of that. Really don't care.
Don't need to know. Thank you. Yeah. And I think we're so prone just because of the nature of what we do. Yes, we want to be responsive. Of course we do. We want to provide the utmost of service. Yes, absolutely. But I think there's a fine line as well. Again, couching this in the sphere of, you know, it being normal. It's not a special project. It's not something where you're dealing across time zones, or extreme time zones, of just, you know, it's a matter of respecting what we do as well, right? You know, we're not, you're on call. You know, even surgeons aren't on call as much as sometimes we seem to be. So it's like, is anyone bleeding or in jail? No, it can wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Are you in deep trouble? No.
Yes. And I mean, honestly, sometimes I'm not the person for those calls either. It really depends.
That's true. Did you call your attorney?
I mean, this is going to make me sound horrible, but I can
go for it.
I have a dear nephew who is now an adult, but at the time he was, you know, in his early 20s, and he called me at 2:30 in the morning to tell me that he had a flat tire, and he was all the way across town. I still lived in, you know, LA at the time, and I said, are you kidding me right now? Like, where you are, your dad, like the man who gave you life, is literally 10 minutes away. I am 45 minutes away and it's 2:30 in the morning. Auntie says, no. No, I will not get you.
Auntie says, I will buy you a AAA membership for your birthday.
Could you please get a AAA card or something? And oh, by the way, how about learning to change a tire?
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to come change your tire. I'm not going to come change your tire.
And you're 10 minutes away from your own father.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. Pretty funny. I'm not always the best call in the middle of the night. You know, if you're
hurt,
trouble, I'm your girl. I will bring calm to the situation and I will be there. But for something like that, when there is help that's 10 minutes away.
and help that would, you know, be more apt to being changing a tire. It's not really my thing to do. Yeah.
30 in the morning. You're asking me to drive 45 minutes to come and take you 10 minutes to where your dad actually is. Who has a phone?
Right.
Who has a phone?
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good times.
Yeah, but you know, the boundary thing, I think that boundaries are for our sanity, but I also think that those boundaries are not just applied to time, but it applies to every facet of our work life and of course our personal life. So, you know, I have boundaries around, you know, what types of accounts I actually work with. I, you know, have boundaries about the culture that I will really engage in, because I know how to create the best environment for success for me. And I get that my environment that cultivates success is different from someone else's. So I think it's really important to not only know that, but to have it documented somewhere, just to remind yourself, like,
so true.
Okay, I don't take on clients that want this particular thing unless they have a budget of X.
Right.
Because we can be prone in the moment, you know, as communicators. Pros to, you know, we're a helpful bunch, so we want to help people. And so sometimes you can blur those lines, but having it documented and looking at it gives you sort of that pause that you sometimes need to say, you know what, there's a reason why this is documented. It's because this hasn't been my, you know, best avenue for success and for my mental wellness, which, you know, we talk about a lot today, and I'm glad that we do, because I feel like for so years professionally, it was so taboo to talk about that. But to do your best work requires your best mind. And to have your mind at its healthiest requires taking care of it with proper sleep and with the proper environment. You can't be under constant stress. You need to have some sort of, you know, I hate to say balance because I think that that's too simple.
Unattainable actual balance. But I think it's more, like you say, the right.
Sometimes you're like, not a balance, and that's not a bad thing. Like, right. Sometimes you need. I like the way that there's a guy, Jordan Rayner, and I love what he says. Instead of balance, he talks about excellence. So when you strive for excellence in your life, you are going to give the time and energy to the in a way that produces excellence. So sometimes that might mean that that scale tilts a little more to the personal side, to the life side. Sometimes it's going to tilt a little more to the professional side, but not at the expense of being less excellent in any one area of your life. And so I like that a lot better. It's a different way of thinking about it. And I do, because balance is just like, it makes people feel like a failure. Like, oh, there's this 50-50. That's the biggest lie ever.
No.
I used to hate when people said that about marriage. Like, are you kidding me? There's no 50-50 in marriage. No. Like, sometimes it's going to be 80, sometimes it's going to be 50-40, sometimes it's going to be 70. Because we're human beings, we're dynamic. And so, you know what? It's like overall, if you're striving for a healthy balance, like in the big scheme of being together for, 20, 30 years, I get that, but to try to like every day it's 50-50 is just ridiculous. Sorry for anybody who, is making that happen, but I didn't find that to be true. And I also didn't find that to be an issue. I mean, sometimes one or the other person is pulling a little more weight. And that's okay. That's the beauty of being in a relationship that's healthy, is that you're there for one another.
No, that's so true. And I, going back to what you said about choosing the kind of work, you have to think about what energizes you and what depletes you. And it's not to say that every task we do throughout the day is just so blissful and wonderful, but I've taken on projects that I thought I would like, and I found halfway through of like, whew, this is really draining. Wow. And it wasn't like a negative thing. It wasn't like, oh, it went south or it was really bad. It was just, I thought I would enjoy this kind of work. No, not so much, but know it and move on. But, just being aware of that too, as you put your solo life together. Oh, that was cheesy. Sorry, but it just happened.
Hey, we love cheesy here.
This is a pun. This is a pun safe territory.
Group. We welcome the cheesy.
But and it does crack me up because in some people in my business world, they're the earlier the meeting, the bigger the badge of honor. It's like, oh, I had a 5 a.m. meeting today. Whoa. I'm thinking, you're just all ridiculous. Like, are you kidding me? If you want me to be upright, both eyes open, coherent, saying multi-syllable words, 8 a.m. is a push, 9 is safe.
So again, here's knowing yourself. Like, it's so funny when people come out of corporate and, they want to all set like 8 a.m. meetings I sort of laugh because I'm like, yeah, that'll pass. So for me now, it's not that I'm not awake. It's that the one part of my day that I really protect even more than the evening is the morning. Mm. So for me, my morning time is so sacred because it sets the tone for my day and it centers me for the day. So I've got to have those first hours of the morning to myself. True. And that allows me to be at my best for the rest of the day. If that does not happen, you may not get the best Karen in the world. You really may not.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, hey, if you are, I'm somebody that has done, like rising at 5 a.m., but I also sometimes like in the summer, it might be six. And
slacker.
So it was 7 a.m. Not going to lie. That's what happens when you work late. So,
yeah, well, exactly. I think, you know, your body will tell you.
For sure.
Yeah. Your body will tell you, hey, you did 13 hours yesterday. Where are you going?
Yeah. But I mean, again, knowing your own boundaries and being protective of them, I do. And you can protect them without making a federal case out of it to clients.
Right.
It's roughly, you know, again, I find that suggesting an alternative works very well. I don't have to explain anything. And I really don't, because we're not an employee. So it's not like I have to, you know, tell my boss why I can't clock in at 8 a.m. It's just like,
right.
Well, you know, that doesn't really work. How about, and you set an overtime. And I mean, I have an 8:30 a.m. meeting tomorrow and I'm doing it by choice. And it's a video meeting. So I do feel like some type of medal for that. Like, I have to do all of the things I normally do in the morning and be ready for video at 8:30 a.m. And somebody should definitely like recognize that. I deserve a parade or something.
You do. We'll get one of those little car parades going by your place.
Thank you.
I know it's funny. I gauge. I'm like, okay, I really shouldn't talk to people until the second cup of coffee. And then, you know what, there have been days I hit the ground running, right? Just go from like PJs and toothbrushing to boom. Yeah. Let me get that email. Let's get this stuff out.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all vary from day to day too. I think just, you know, a general overall consistency. I mean, you know, it's not to say that you're going to ignore all of your email and all of your clients until 3 PM because whatever. No, I mean, you need to have some semblance of responsiveness. You can't ghost everyone, but you know, at the same time, don't feel like, well, if I'm not sitting all perfectly, you know, everything together, hair in place at 8 a.m. at my desk, I'm a failure. Well, no, that's not true. Not at all. And this is coming from the person who, you know, my inner dialogue sometimes tells me just that. It's like, it's 9 a.m. What's your problem? Get in there, blah, blah, blah. And yet, even when the pandemic did start, and you know, I did have a lot going on, but there would be some, you know, one day when maybe things weren't as urgent, and I just listened to my body. And if I slept until 8:30, you know, initially I was like, oh my goodness, but then I checked in with myself. Okay, well, how do you feel? Well, actually, I feel really refreshed. Oh, and I worked my, you know, my day, and guess what? It still all got done. Oh. Now I'm also very good at unlearning that self for myself and getting back on the beat yourself up horse.
I mean, I think if we just keep reminding ourselves, you know, keep to the forefront of our mind that boundaries allow us to bring our best self to our lives, period. I mean, when boundaries are crossed, it makes you feel invaded. It can, you know, in some situations it actually can feel abusive. You know, we have heard sometimes from professionals where they really did feel harassed and abused by clients who, you know, late night calls and text messages and constant after hour emails, or, you know, interrupting them on the weekends. And that really can feel abusive if it's taken to that level. And so when you're feeling abused, are you really bringing your best self to life? You're not, because it's a stressor and it takes away from your ability to be, you know, coming from a whole and healthy and balanced place. Right. And so you really do, you know, have them, stick to them, and don't allow other people to blur those lines for you. But also be flexible in realizing that today's boundaries may not work, you know, 6 months from now, and that's okay. So be willing to adapt for your own personal needs, not because other people are forcing that change, but because you realize that, you know what, maybe you were somebody that used to get up at 5 o'clock, but then you find yourself in a time of your life where it's like, you know what, you really can't get up at 4 or 5 a.m. that you're more like a 6:30, 7 a.m. person. That's okay. That adaptation is really okay.
Right. It is. You know, it's what works for you. And that's the beauty of being a solo, is that we can craft our day. You know, we're not punching a time clock. You know, there's, you know, you don't have to take your break at 10:15 a.m. And, you know, it's okay to enjoy that freedom. And it may take some doing, you know, if you're new to it, it may take some doing, but you'll trust us, you'll get there. and you're right. It is all about, you know, keeping ourselves in the best shape possible to be of service to our clients and our friends and our families, you know, at the times that are good for us. And, you know, this could be a whole other podcast too, of just over busy. You know, I think for such a long time, and I'm grateful that I see the tide turning, you know, making sure your schedule's packed and you're always on and you're always do. I think if anything, this pandemic has taught us, hey, we're, you know, no one's lives are ruined by my not, you know, overdoing on behalf of others entirely. It's not to say you're not going to help people, but you know what I mean? Hopefully you do. I know, you know, we've all fallen prey to it. I have the magnet, stop me before I volunteer again. It's like, but I, no, you know, what's the saying? Every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to yourself. And you, not that that's, you know, 100%, that's something that should be your guide all the time, you know, but ask that of yourself. If is what I'm saying yes to worth what I am actually saying no to? And that could be just taking a half hour for pleasure reading, because that will make you a better writer if you pleasure read, or, yes, you know, keeping up with industry reading, things like that, things that you think, oh, it's okay, I'll be fine. That, you know, be fair to yourself as well. And because sometimes, you know, you'll find that they'll find someone else to do it, and it'll probably work out better because you did say no. So I know we veered off. Well, not really. That's a boundary too. Say yes to.
Speaking of boundaries, we've hit up against our time boundary.
We have. But we hope we've given you, you know, some things to think about, and, you know, and maybe even if you need permission. I know sometimes I'm guilty of that. It's like, I just need someone to give me permission, even though I know that that's me. So if you need that, we give you permission to set some boundaries. And we'd love to hear what your issues are with boundaries, or even your successes with your boundaries. Let us know at soloprpro.com. And if you found this helpful, please share it. We would really appreciate that. And make sure you subscribe so you don't miss the next episode of That Solo Life.